Hi, my name's Caitlin Collins, and I'm here with Dr. Hill, and today we're going to be going over chest wall tumors. So, Dr. Hill, first question. When a patient comes to see you in clinic with a chest wall tumor, what's your general approach to their care?
For chest wall tumors, there's, of course, the basics, and the basics include a physical exam and a history. But specifically with respect to chest wall, I want to understand that what their initial functional status is. Is there some sort of a deficit in functional status that pre-exists their surgery? Because certainly after the operation, they'll have a negative effect on functional status. And you want to understand what they're going to be left with after surgery. Some of the physiologic parameters that can be looked at are the PFTs, metabolic panel. In a cardiac evaluation, I get an echo on everyone from the standpoint of being sure that we're not going to have cardiac issues intraoperatively and postoperatively. And then just the overall idea of whether a big chest wall tumor resection is even feasible or doable. And I want to get a very exhaustive panel of imaging with multiple modalities for imaging, including CT scan, and MRI, and then of course need to rule out the possibility of previously or currently unrecognized distant metastases.
Dr. Hill, you mentioned some of the important history, physiologic studies, and imaging that are critical to your evaluation of these patients, but are there any key decision branch points in your operative management of these patients?
Yeah, besides what we already discussed, there are two aspects of that result in branch points that can help in operative management. One of those branch points is histology. I think it's very important to know what the histology is before beginning an operation. Occasionally in thoracic surgery, you're asked to do an operation based on imaging without getting histology. I actually think it's very important to have the histology ahead of time. I think this makes for a difference in the method of the operation, the extent of the operation, the type of incision that's used, and the extent of resection. I think imaging is very important also to help with branch points. It can tell you location. I use multiple modalities of imaging, including MRI, ultrasound if needed, angiography. Imaging can also help in determining blood supply of the tumor, and I think it's extremely important to have localization of blood supply before starting the operation, because it'll tell you something about what the origin of the tumor is, how to get at the blood supply during the operation, and also determining whether there's going to be issues of blood loss and whether embolization should be attempted prior to beginning the operation.
So how do you think about the pathophysiology of the disease process with respect to chest wall tumors in particular? What aspects do you have to consider in your operative management of these patients that might not be as relevant to, say, a patient undergoing an abdominal operation?
So specifically with respect to the chest, the thorax contains organs that are fairly vital, and it has to do with the circulation and respiration. And anytime there's an operation done on the thorax, the cardiac function and respiratory function needs to be taken into account. And planning ahead of time would require taking these things into consideration. For example, one lung ventilation is frequently required during these operations. Will the patient tolerate one lung ventilation, and how are you going to do it? And an interaction with anesthesiology to have that set up ahead of time. Also, will this patient require cardiopulmonary bypass? Frequently, you're in a situation where there's a lot of blood loss or there's an effect on cardiac function during the operation, and cardiopulmonary bypass may be required, and it's best to have thought about that ahead of time and have it set up ahead of time rather than scramble and try to get it set up during the operation.
So one thing that I find confusing when dealing with patients who present with chest wall tumors is determining when a resection would be futile or even worse, harmful. I think as medical students and then into residency, I feel like we often have this concept of metastatic disease as a non-curative entity. And many chest wall tumors are, you know, either metastatic or from local invasion that would be consistent with T4 disease on TMN staging. So how do you determine the utility of performing a resection in these complex patients?
So you're asking a really complicated question, and there's not really one answer for this question, but I will say this. It's best to adopt a multimodality approach where you're not working by yourself as a surgeon. You have to work with other specialties, particularly medical oncology, radiation oncology, social work, nutritional people, and pharmacology, and you can't just be working by yourself. It's important to present a patient who's complex, as you're describing, at a tumor board, where you sit as a committee and make complex decisions based on a very exhaustive evaluation of all of the imaging studies, histologic studies, and the patient characteristics. And a lot of this is, there's maybe differences of opinion as to how to manage these patients, but once you come to a consensus based on a committee at your hospital and interactions with the patient, the patient's other consultants, pulmonary medicine, medical oncology, et cetera, you can often come up with a particular decision to optimize the patient's care. And often it results in palliation if you have a complex situation as you're describing.
And we were discussing prior to the podcast some of the landmark studies that Dr. Hill wanted to share with us related to the thorax. He's going to describe the studies a little bit more, but they'll be sent out with this podcast, so you can look for the link in the email.
I've chosen landmark articles that aren't necessarily specific to chest wall or mediastinum. I picked articles that are more conceptual, having to deal with thorax in general. And I've picked two that really affect the way I practice. And one of the articles is a prospective randomized trial of lobectomy versus limited resection for T1N0 non-small cell lung cancer, published by Ginsberg in 1995. Now, that's an old paper, but it's a prospective randomized trial. And it really affects the way that all thoracic surgeons carry out their practice these days. And it showed that lobectomy is better than anything less than lobectomy, meaning either a segmentectomy or a wedge resection. And it showed it based on a prospective randomized trial of around 250 patients. And I can talk to my patients and discuss things with pulmonary medicine referral doctors or medical oncologists and say that I perform lobectomy based on this particular study, and it's hard to argue against that. And I would look at that article because it definitively shows that there is a higher rate of a local recurrence and a worse long-term survival if anything less than a lobectomy is performed for lung cancer. And I think the concept is that in a lobectomy, it's an anatomic resection that removes all N1 lymph nodes, and it's a true cancer operation versus anything less than a lobectomy, which is not a cancer operation. So there's another article that I think is landmark and interesting and controversial, and it's entitled A Genomic Strategy to Refine Prognosis in Early Stage Non-Small Cell Lung Cancer. First author is a person by the name of Potti, spelled P-O-T-T-I, from Duke University. They were looking at a way to determine a high-risk segment of patients who undergo resection for stage 1 lung cancer and try to determine using genomic analysis as to who would be high-risk and would need further therapy, meaning adjuvant chemo or radiation therapy, after resection for the earliest stage of lung cancer. And they showed that there is a high-risk group based on genomic analysis. And I think the concept that they can produce that kind of information for lung cancer patients is very important. Now, I think another interesting controversial aspect is that that paper was determined to be fraudulent. The data was fraudulently created. And then there was another paper put out in 2012 by Kratz and Jablons from UCSF, which took that same concept of genomic strategy to refine the prognosis of early stage non-small cell lung cancer. And their paper, which was published in Lancet in 2012, actually shows non-fraudulently that there is a benefit in looking at genomic analysis of the histologic specimens from lung cancer patients.